It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show, our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture, all kinds of politics going on. It seems to many, not me so much, but it seems to many that we're already into the general election. Why? Because the long Republican primary, according to conventional wisdom, is over. Trump did a blowout in Iowa, and he won in New Hampshire, even though some were projecting that Nikki Haley might win. Trump still beat her by double digits. Now, she gave the kind of speech where she put the most positive spin on it that she possibly could. She says, well, we got almost half the votes. And there are some that are saying, look, almost half the people did not want Donald Trump as their nominee. That's not exactly true. You see, they have an open type primary in New Hampshire. Different states have different rules. In New Hampshire, if you're an independent, you're allowed to vote in the Republican primary. If you're a Democrat, you can't. But there were Democrats, and many people have admitted this to pollsters, who changed their affiliation to independent so that they could go in and vote for Nikki Haley. But when asked if they would vote for Nikki Haley as opposed to Joe Biden in the general election, they said no, they were just trying to get in the way of Trump. Now, I'm an independent myself, but I must say, to keep this as objective as possible, the Republican Party should be allowed to nominate whoever they want. If you're not really a Republican, you shouldn't be given their nomination. Out of those who were Republicans, the high majority of them went to Donald Trump. So a lot of people are saying it's really over. Now, Trump did make some comments after Iowa. A lot of people were saying, boy, he's changing his tune. He's being more gracious. Trump is very gracious when those who were his political adversaries come over to his side. He's that way with Vivek Ramaswamy and others. But Nikki Haley, because she didn't concede, Trump said some demeaning things about her. I really wish he wouldn't talk that way. I do. But, and I'm saying this to a lot of my conservative Christian brothers and sisters who say, I cannot, in the name of Christ, vote for a man who's that rude, who used to put up all those horrible tweets, who makes fun of his opponents. I just don't think that's the Christian way. Well, your choice is him or Joe Biden, the man who allows infanticide, the man who allows so many other things, I can't even list them. You'll pardon me if I'm not that upset over Trump's demeanor. Do I wish it were a little different at times? I do. But for Pete's sakes, my friends, let's get some perspective. Now, the other thing that I mentioned at the top of this monologue, some people are saying it's over, but of course, there are probably a lot of people around Nikki Haley saying, you don't have to win these primaries, just stay, because if any of these court cases convicts Donald Trump or disqualifies him from being in the general election, by default, it will go up to you. You may not be winning all these states, but you're picking up a few delegates as you go. Meanwhile, the Democrats have their own problem. Joe Biden is a disaster. He can barely put three sentences together or three words together. He doesn't know where the stairs are. He talks to people in the room long since dead. Of course, the mainstream media tries to ignore that, and they talk about Trump's gaffes. For example, he talks about the fact that on January 6th, he offered to call out the National Guard, but Nikki Haley wouldn't let him do it. Of course, he meant Nancy Pelosi. Now, we all make those kinds of slips of the tongues. I do it all the time. Obviously, Nikki Haley was on his mind since she was his opponent that evening in New Hampshire. That was an easy mistake. He's not doing it 24/7 like Biden is. Be that as it may, whatever spin and happy face the media tries to put on it, and the pollsters try to put on it, and the handlers and the publicists try to put on it, the Democratic Party is not happy with Biden, but they're in a conundrum. Because if they get rid of him and put anybody on the ticket other than Kamala Harris, they'll be accused of sexism, they'll be accused of racism, since she was the first woman to ever be vice president, and an African-American woman at that. And of course, she's every bit as bad as Biden is. Maybe not quite as bad, but she sure runs a close second. So that's their problem. But actually, it would be a very easy problem to deal with. All they have to do is put Michelle Obama on the ticket. She's a woman. She's African-American. She's much more popular. I'm very concerned that they might do that. And Michelle Obama's been making the kinds of comments that seem to be a hint, hint, wink, wink, nod, nod, that direction. The other possibility that many are floating is Gavin Newsom. But since everything is about race and category to the Democrats, they are going to be concerned about any blowback they may get regarding Kamala Harris. So watch, we may just see Michelle Obama enter the race. I hope I'm wrong, but it is a possibility. So all to say, we may not yet be in the general election. It's still possible that Trump won't be on the ballot. It's still possible that Biden won't be on the ballot. We'll see. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Heard the news by now. The Supreme Court, in a 5-4 vote, sided with the Biden administration over Governor Abbott in Texas. But even though you've heard about it, the details, you've really got to see this to believe it. Here's the background. Texas claims the federal government won't do its job about protecting the border. So they said, fine, we'll do it. They put up razor wire, a floating barrier in the Rio Grande, thousands of Texas state troopers and National Guard soldiers along a 1,200 254-mile border with Mexico. And what happens? The Biden administration sues them. First, the lower court sided with Biden. Then the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals overturned that verdict, siding with Governor Abbott. Now SCOTUS has overturned the Fifth Circuit. Clarence Thomas, Samuel Alito, Neil Gorsuch, and Brett Kavanaugh dissented. This means two of our so-called conservative justices, Roberts and Barrett, sided with the liberals. Now look, I understand judges are supposed to be objective. It shouldn't matter whether they're conservative or liberal in their politics. Unfortunately, that's not the way life goes. Of course it matters. That's why the senators of one party are always blocking nominations from a president of an opposing party. However, having said that, it's the conservative justices who will claim that rather than being conservative, they're just going to read what the Constitution says instead of finding hidden meaning. So those appointed by conservative presidents claim during the nomination process that they will merely read what the Constitution says. It's very disappointing when they don't. Now, the reason for this decision was not given by the Supreme Court. Probably there is agreement with Biden's claim that it's the job of the federal government to protect our national borders, although that seems like a strange reason when what Biden was seeking permission to do was to cut the razor wire. Get this? They get permission to tear down the border by claiming it's their job, not the state's job, to secure the border. Well, yes, Mr. President, that is your job. It does say in our Constitution that one of the purposes of the federal government is to protect the country, but you are not doing your job. You are not protecting our country in any way, shape, or form. But right now, we're talking about the Texas border. And by the way, the Constitution also allows states to protect themselves. That provision is in Article 1, Section 10. Meanwhile, for those of you who believe in open borders and want to claim federal law over state law regarding immigration, where were you when so many mayors declared sanctuary cities and California declared itself a sanctuary state? That was in complete violation of federal law. That was local government deciding to ignore federal government. Catching on? States are scolded when the federal government isn't doing its job, so they do the job themselves in accordance with the Constitution. But states aren't scolded when they defy the federal government legitimately by having sanctuary cities. I guess it just all depends on whether or not a liberal or conservative administration is in charge of the federal government at the time. Speaking of liberals, now hold on to your hats. MSNBC anchor Joy Reid sides with Biden on this. Didn't see that one coming. And what tasty morsels of wit and wisdom are coming from this tower of virtue? She's comparing the protection of our borders with segregation. Of course, it's always about race. It couldn't possibly be that people welcome legal immigration but simply don't want anyone here illegally. It couldn't possibly be about safety or a country's need to survive or the fact that enemy countries like China and Iran are sending people into our country through southern borders that they could be developing terror cells. No, no, no. Race, always race. All of life is looked at through the lens of race, even though countless Hispanics who came to the country legally support border enforcement. But that's a race statistic nobody wants to look at. Here are Joy Reid's words. This massive resistance, it sounds like the old Southerners who said that we will resist integration by any means necessary. I see. Very good, Miss Reid. Well, since you like analogies, here's another one. A state has no right to put up a fence. Okay, does that apply to all property? Are there any fences around your home, Miss Reid? Are there any walls enclosing the house you live in? Do you leave your front door open all the time and all gates so that anyone who wants to can just drop in without permission, without even knocking? No? Whoa! Sounds like segregation to me. It also sounds like a way of making the obvious obvious. is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric, Incorporated. License number 480-539, W&S Electric.
Is it really true that there will be peace in the Middle East if we just have a two-state solution? Or are some people instead challenging Israel's right to exist at all? Is it true that Jews have no historical claim to the Holy Land and stole that land from a people called the Palestinians? Bob Siegel's latest book challenges the historical revision of the Israeli-Palestinian situation and shows how Israel's struggle may soon be the struggle of the entire world. The Holocaust Against Israel by Bob Siegel, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Always good to be joined by my producer, Brendan Thomas. Well, Brendan, you must be going up in the world. That's quite an intro.
That's right, yeah. Well,
how's that for entrance music? Here's Brendan Thomas.
With the hail to the chief, that's right. Last time I was on here, we talked about the Pink Panther movie series, so I thought it was an easy transition to talk about our presidents of the United States.
Easy transition from the Pink Panther to the president.
That's right.
Well, they both start with P.
That's true. So today, I wanted to rank all of our presidents that we've ever had throughout our United States, even Biden to this day.
Oh, my goodness. And a lot of people. And I'm one of them. There are some presidents that I'll know their name and know very little, if anything, about what they did. I know we're into the 40s.
Yeah, we're at 46 right now. So yeah. We're going to rank all 45 because, as you know, there was one person in our presidency that was reelected. After having one turn off. Yep. So we're going to go through and we're going to talk about everyone. Spoiler alert, Joe Biden is my number one choice for best president. No, not even close.
He has to be the worst. Could there possibly have been anybody worse than
Biden? Let's find out. So we're going to start from the bottom, and then we're going to work our way up. And again, we might not get through all of them tonight, so it might be a two-parter. Who knows? My worst president, personally, to me, is not Joe Biden, surprisingly enough.
Well, I know there have been other bad ones, but worse?
I have Andrew Johnson, the president that took over after Abraham Lincoln.
He was the first president to be impeached.
Yes, that he was, and for good reasons. I mean, he did a lot of things pretty bad throughout his whole presidency. And for every president I get to, I will say a pro about him, but I will also offer up a con about what
did he sniff girls behind the neck?
No, he did not. But he did, for the con part, I'll start with that. He did allow black codes to come back into the southern states. He let the southern states know, you guys can go ahead and
govern your body. That's a real reversal of progress.
Yeah, exactly.
In as much as we had just fought the Civil War to start ending that
kind of
stuff.
We were under a reconstruction period at this time after the Civil War.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, after the age of slavery, was the age of segregation that remained a very long time,
very
all the way up
so.
Through the 1960s.
I will give a pro again, like I said. He did purchase and acquire Alaska, at least. So we added another state to our democracy at that time, thus adding some more voices into the government, if you wanted to include that part. But I would say
good
that was
one, Andrew.
One. Yeah. All right, moving on. The president before Abraham Lincoln is my second worst president of all
time.
Well,
because he presided, that was Pierce, wasn't it?
No, that was actually James Buchanan.
Yeah, boy, to be the one presiding on the verge of the country splitting into two nations, that couldn't have been too much fun.
And then why would you allow southern states to secede from each other, from the Union? That makes absolutely no sense, and that just hinders your cause as the president of the United States, of the Union itself.
Well, of course, they could have said they weren't going to allow it, and the South was going to do it anyway. So,
but that
maybe
would be
somebody with more backbone would have been able to do something about it.
My pro for him is that he did have more federal control in Nevada, Utah, and Colorado, and that was involving the Utah War, because technically Colorado, Nevada, and Utah lands were actually one big Utah territory at the time, but we eventually split them off. So I did allow them. Now it's our president, ladies and gentlemen. Joe Biden is the third worst president of the United States.
Well, I'm glad he's somewhere near the bottom of your barrel, Brendan.
Yes. Obviously, there's so many cons we can go through, obviously.
Oh, with boy.
My thing I least like him the most is our border policies that we have. The sanitation levels that we have there, the way we're treating the people on border is just horrendous. And no other president would allow this to happen. Trump didn't even allow this to happen. That's like everyone that ever said in the mainstream media that, oh, Trump doesn't care about anything at the border. He wants everything to get
Trump
worse.
Trump campaigned
there.
On strengthening the border. That
exactly.
was his big thing.
And yet,
and he fulfilled his campaign promises the best he was able to.
And then here we are in Biden's presidency, and it's gotten a million times worse under his watch, and everyone has to follow through on his policies that he implemented. It's just horrendous. I will say the one good thing he did, and I know it does cause some controversy at the same time, he did bring back troops from Afghanistan, but obviously that's
still
has a
lot of...
Oh,
but the way he brought them back was just a nightmare.
I know. So I understand that that's not a really big pro in the end, but that's the best I can do with what our president has
done. Well, and the only reason I would say to have brought the troops back is we weren't letting them really fight the war. We were tying their hands behind their backs. So if they're just going to get slaughtered and have to call a lawyer before they can shoot at somebody, why not just bring them home?
It's true.
But it was just a mess.
Now, this next guy I have, I personally just hate so much based on character himself. I think his policies were meh at best, and I know he's a very controversial figure. I have Woodrow Wilson next up in my list.
Oh, I don't have any great love for him. He
if you think Joe Biden was a socialist,
he was very much
into
progressivism and socialism. Yes, he was. In fact, he was the arch layer of it.
I think so. So obviously, my con is the Espionage and Sedition Acts that he signed at that time. Obviously, it hindered our free speech as it was. And of course, we can't criticize the federal government.
They're getting around any of the amendments of the Constitution, to me, that's the deal breaker right there. That should be so obvious to
Absolutely.
People.
Absolutely. I will say the pro is after World War One, he caused us to get into World War One for no reason, just besides, oh, let's just try to bring our country together again at some point. But honestly, it was just so unnecessary, I feel like. But anyways, he did have the 14 points during the meetings that he had with world leaders at that time, bringing up free trade, open agreements, democracy, and self-determination. So I can give Woodrow Wilson that, but not much more. I really can't stand the dude really much. It's surprising like how many historians will praise the guy, but then there's other historians who will just degrade him.
Ever since they got rid of celebrating Washington's birthday and Lincoln's, and instead we had President's Day, what we've basically done is give every president a participation trophy.
Exactly. And that shouldn't be the case. We should celebrate the ones who actually made a difference in our country.
Of course.
Next up on my list is Franklin Pierce. My con, of course, has to be the Kansas-Nebraska Act at that time. If you didn't know, we were still fighting over which states would be free and which states would be slavery, and the Kansas-Nebraska Act did not help at all. There was plenty of people going over to Kansas, whether there be anti-slavery or pro-slavery at the time, and they were causing so many small battles in that state. That's why it's nicknamed Bloody Kansas to this day still. The pro I do give him is the Gadsden Purchase, which is some land that we bought from Mexico that acquired parts of New Mexico and Arizona that we own today. And it was a very, very cheap price at the time. I was very surprised. Like, even if you...
Which the liberals are always saying we should just go ahead and give back to Mexico.
Yeah, but I'm not seeing that anytime soon. I think whatever land we have acquired, we're going to keep to ourselves.
Does it matter anymore since they can just walk across our border anytime they want?
I mean, there's no barbed wire anymore. Yeah, so there you go. Get rid of that out of the way. My next choice. This was quite interesting because I will follow this up with a story. I have Bill Clinton as my next choice on here. I was talking to a former news director at KUSI last month, and he said out of all the politicians he's ever talked to at that time in the 1990s, Bill Clinton was his absolute favorite. He talked about how much personality this guy had.
Well, he did
himself.
Have personality, but we've got to ask ourselves if we want more than that from a president.
Yeah, and another president who was impeached. And no, it wasn't because of his personal relationships that he had at that time.
It was because of lying.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. It had nothing to do. Presidents, I hate to say this on the air, but presidents are allowed to do their personal
All he had to do was come on and say, yes, I did have an affair in the time-honored tradition of John Kennedy and Franklin Roosevelt and other great heroes in my party. That's all he would have had to say.
Instead,
and nobody would have batted an eye.
Exactly, except he was dishonest, and then that hindered
his... He lied about it.
Yeah, exactly.
And then his wife tried to say that the real story out there was the conservative conspiracy against him. Something she's never gone back and apologized
for. No, of course not. But again, don't see it coming anytime soon. My con obviously has to do with the Violent Crime Control and Law Enforcement Act, which basically just said, oh, black people are just automatically the criminals in this country, and that's strictly it. And that is just absolutely despicable.
And Trump went some distance to reverse that, and he doesn't get credit for it, and he's still accused of being a racist.
Exactly. I don't get it. Honestly, really look into these acts and these papers. Find out what these policies are about, because honestly, you're absolutely reporting the wrong kind of news out there to the public right now. And then my pro, I will say, and this is just because I might be biased because I'm on it right now, is the Family and Medical Leave Act of 1993. Yes, I am enjoying my paternity leave right now. How did you ask? I don't know. But I did enjoy that. My next president I have is George W. Bush. I think he might be a little low for some people.
He's not one of my favorites, actually, but I wouldn't put him quite that low.
Okay. My con obviously has to do with his long, long time of trying to find the weapons of mass destruction. A lot of wasted money.
Oh, I've got an old radio show that I should repeat because I interviewed somebody from the Middle East and there were weapons of mass destruction there.
Really? Because the media at the time, I remember, reported there was nothing.
Well, you know what? When people say Bush lied, they were right, but they got the wrong lie. What happened is he had them. Saddam Hussein had them, but when we went in and discovered them, we found that they were the ones we sold to him.
Oh.
And so we didn't, rather than just saying, okay, well, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. At that time, we were more concerned about Iran than we were about Iraq. And coming clean, they were just saying things, oh, well, we think Saddam Hussein himself is a weapon of mass destruction. So it was a problem. I should find that old show and replay it one of these days. It was really fascinating.
So in other words, he was still being very dishonest with our country.
He was still being dishonest, but I interviewed somebody who had been a citizen of Iraq who was actually there, and boy, and Israeli intelligence was confirming all that same stuff.
It didn't happen to be the guy you debated with a few months ago.
No, this is a different guy.
Okay, just checking. And my pro, I do have to say, is the aftermath of 9/11. What a tragedy that was. But as a president, he really was able to unite us.
He really was, and he had been under a lot of criticism because they were accusing him of stealing the election because of all that stuff that went on in Florida with the hanging chads and things. And Dick Morris on Fox News put it perfectly. After 9/11, that was when the country really elected him as president.
That's true. No, it's true. Honestly, I couldn't imagine.
He did a very good job, and we should give him credit for that. But he was beholding to Mexico. He wouldn't do much about the border. There were things about him I did not really care for.
Oh, for sure. What I was going to mention, too, is the fact that I don't think, who did Bush face in 2000 again? Now I'm blank. Al Gore. I don't think Al Gore would have had the same gravitas as George W. Bush would have had at that time. I mean, any president, honestly, I thought would pretty much buckle down and be like, I don't know what to do next.
I feel that I am the one who was truly elected the president of the United States.
But again, George W. Bush, I think, did an absolutely excellent job during that time. And again, I don't think we had any other president who united America as itself together just as well as he did. My next president, Andrew Jackson, is on my list. For the con, I have the Indian Removal Act, which also caused the Trail of Tears to happen for those Native Americans. It was an absolutely horrific act where it took people out of their own homes in Georgia and then had them make them walk thousands of miles to Oklahoma.
Yeah, I love our country, but we don't have a lot to brag about in the way Native Americans were treated.
Definitely not. My pro, I will give, is that he was actually able to pay off the national debt entirely, and he was the only president to do so in our presidency history.
Well, you got to give him some credit for his portrait on the $10 bill, too.
Yes, I mean, of course. That's a handsome man right
there. Or is that the $20 bill?
No, 20.
He's on the 20.
Yeah, exactly.
Who's on the 10?
Hamilton,
okay.
That's right. Not even a president.
just a cheap musical named after him.
True. Again, I think that he having to pay off the national debt and to see where our national debt is, I think it's at trillions of dollars now. It's something like that.
And when you give or take a trillion, nobody even blinks anymore. That's how bad it is.
We're
desensitized to the word trillion. Our debt is so bad.
If we brought Jackson back from the dead and he's like, so how's our national debt? And I tell him, he's going to be like, what happened?
Woke me up from my peaceful sleep to give me that news?
Next up on my list, Richard Nixon, I have. As a con, I have the secret bombings of Cambodia and, of course, the Watergate scandal, in my opinion, being very, very again, dishonest with the national public.
Well, the biggest, the way that metastasized was, again, it was like the Clinton thing, them lying about it, bugging a campaign headquarters. I'm not saying anybody should have done it, but that's done all the time. They got caught. They should have come clean.
Yep.
And it was the lying about it that was the real problem.
And thus, our tax dollars were being involved with the investigations and elongating this whole situation.
You know what's so funny is people don't understand the word impeached, because a lot of people, Nixon left office over that.
And he was never impeached.
He probably would have been, but he did a preemptive strike and he left. Meanwhile, Bill Clinton, who was impeached, did not leave office, because impeached by the House doesn't mean convicted by the Senate.
Exactly.
So a lot of people misunderstand those words, and we think of Nixon as having been impeached. It never actually happened.
No, it never did.
But he did leave office over it.
Yes, exactly. My pro for Nixon, I hope I'm going to pronounce this right, his Deante policies when he was dealing with Russia and China at the time were absolutely immaculate.
He was considered very good with foreign policy.
Absolutely.
He was.
But especially Russia and China are main enemies of our countries. It reminds me of Donald Trump during his presidency, his dealings with North Korea and Russia at the time. Those are enemies of all countries. Yeah. And yet he did such a fantastic job. And of course, Joe Biden had to ruin it all again. But that's another story. Next up, I have Millard Fillmore. My con has to deal with slavery again. We have the Fugitive Slave Act he passed at that time, which involved federal government having to take any slaves that ran away from their southern plantations. If they caught them, they had to return them back.
Yeah, people thought that if they could get into the north, it was like, ollie, ollie, oxen free, but it didn't work out that way.
Exactly. And again, Millard Fillmore should have never passed that act, but I think he was being kind of pressured by Congress in order to make sure that the South was still happy at the time, to make sure.
Well, the Dred Scott decision more or less allowed for that anyway, and that came from the courts and not the legislature.
Here's something I've never heard of before, but I had to do some research. The Perry Expedition. This was a expedition over to Japan to see if we can create some ties with them at the time. And that actually ended Japan's 220-year isolation government policy, where they would not contact any countries at all. And that ended it after 220 years. So that was very impressive. And we were able to actually become allies with Japan at the time. Obviously, times changed after that time. But at that time, that was very unexpected, especially under Millard Fillmore, of all people. Warren Harding is next on my list. His con is the Emergency Quota Act, which restricted immigration from countries that were, and I quote, undesirable, whatever that means.
Can be very subjective.
In short, it means Southern and Eastern Europeans. They weren't very happy with the spread of communism. There was people in those countries that weren't happy with it, and Harding was very iffy-washy about even allowing them into the country, so he set up that act. Thus, those people just had to suffer in those countries with the poor infrastructures and the poor stability that they had that the Soviet Union was offering to them at the time. The pro I have is the Budget and Accounting Act of 1921, which actually put the president in charge of budget planning from that point on, until, of course, Congress started taking a very long time with all of their budgets with all of our government. Oh, wait, that's still going on today. What's going on? Wait. Next up, Herbert Hoover is next. My con for him is the Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act. And you'll notice I'll put a lot of tariffs on here probably, because I'm just not a fan of tariffs. We're just going to raise the cost of a lot of things and thus hinder our people in the end of making our economy stronger at some point. That's just my opinion.
No, I tend to agree with that. Okay.
So the Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act was passed, which froze company sales to international items that were being heavily taxed. And that was a huge proponent to get to us to the Great Depression, unfortunately, because a lot of big companies usually bought cheap
outside. Yeah, that, of course, is where he goes down in infamy, is that he was presiding over our country during the stock market crash.
Exactly,
in the 1930s.
Yeah. And so we had a lot to dig through in there. And we'll get to that president who helped us out during that time and eventually. But I do have a pro. He did nominate 3 justices into the Supreme Court that I say actually did a pretty decent job. Charles Evans Hughes, Owen Roberts, and Benjamin Cardozo. So if you want to look into their history, I think they actually did a pretty decent job as a Supreme Justices. Next up, I have John Tyler. His con is that he vetoed a bill establishing another national bank. My opinion is that I think national banks actually help out our country in terms of leveling out any poverty levels or making sure that everything is going well with the whole banking system in our country. And to add another national bank would actually help our country a lot at that time, because I think we were going to get into the panic of 1837 at that time, if I remember right, his presidency order. But unfortunately, he said, no, we don't need another one. We're perfectly fine. And I bet he kind of regrets that after his presidency. My pro is he did annex the state state of Texas from Mexico at the time. So Texas finally became a state and thus adding more land to eventually go manifest destiny and move out west more and keep pushing our land.
Texas has a very interesting history because they were themselves an independent republic. They were also part of Mexico, another part of the United States.
Yep.
Very interesting history.
Absolutely. Martin Van Buren, Mycon, obviously I just discussed it. The Panic of 1837.
I thought you were just going to say anybody with Van in their name.
Van. Okay. No, but the con is the Panic of 1837, which was one of our depressions that we had at the time. And it lasted all the way to 1944, which was even after his presidency. He had a lot of policies and a lot of plans that were placed in front of him to try to fix it. But he decided to decline those in favor of trying to figure out state by state. You guys figure it out yourself instead of us federally. His pro that I do have.
Did you say that lasted till 1944?
Oh, I said 1840. Okay. If I said 19, I apologize.
I was going to say that's a long depression.
Yeah, that's right. 1844. Okay. His pro is the Oroostook War, which is a battle between, I never heard this before, America and New Brunswick over the state of Maine. Eventually, America was able to win and he was able to help make a treaty. So that way, New Brunswick had their territory above Maine and then we had the actual state of Maine itself. So quite interesting, I think.
That is interesting. People forget that Maine and Vermont were part of the Massachusetts Bay Colony and they were not part of the original 13 colonies. It was just Massachusetts at that time.
Eventually, I think back later in the 1800s, I want to say Vermont actually became its very own state at that time.
Yeah.
Next up, I have a guy who was only president for just 30 days here now.
Oh, is this the guy that died really quickly in his president? That was Harrison, wasn't
that's
it?
That's right. Yeah. William Henry Harrison.
See, I'm remembering a few of them.
What am I supposed to do with this president? He was only president for 30 days. He couldn't do anything.
Just
he was laying in bed.
It's like when a movie comes out, there were no critics to review this yet.
Well, then obviously I know that's probably a bad movie.
Give the guy a pass.
Okay. My con,
I guess we could blame him for not living long enough.
My con is he decided to not wear a coat during his inauguration so that he could look tough for America while they were watching the ceremony. But obviously that led him to having a cold and later
he
dying.
Probably looked really tough at his funeral.
I do have to give him a pro. He appointed Daniel Webster as Secretary of State, who was Secretary of State for three terms with other presidencies after him. So he did a pretty decent job.
Did
on
he
that.
Live longer than Pope John Paul I? He didn't last too
I'm
long
not
either.
Sure. I don't remember. I gotta look up
it's
that.
It's probably
day
neck
too.
And neck by a couple of days or something.
They actually have like the actual time. He was president for 30 days, 12 hours, and 30 minutes. I'm like, how did you guys track that? I'm like, goodness.
I think the Pope lived a little longer than that, but not much, I don't
think. Pope Francis I, you said? Is that right?
Pope John Paul I did not last for a very long time.
Pope John Francis I. Let me see here.
No, it's John Paul, not John Francis.
John Paul I. Let me see here if I can see how long he was. Only for 33 days. So he beat him by 3 days.
Wow. I thought I might have been exaggerating by saying within days, but they were within days,
weren't
they?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, by 3 days. My next president I have is Zachary Taylor. Con is that he had to deal with the Compromise of 1850, where he said to southern states, hey, I'm not going to extend any more slavery land to you guys. All you guys are going to have is just this particular land, and that's it. Uh-oh, that's going to cause some more heated tension with the southern states now, because they want more slavery, obviously. So not a very smart move on his part, because you should try to find some kind of compromise instead of just saying, nope, I'm strictly this, and that's it. I mean, yes, it's a strong-headed policy, but at the same time, you're kind of, you know, pushing towards the Civil
War. How do you compromise on an issue like slavery?
It's hard.
Like you're either for it or you're against it.
I know.
It's hard to compromise with that.
I know. Again, I would have to think about, like, maybe the Compromise of 1813, but then again, that was just a Band-Aid over the situation, because it was just going to keep coming up every 10 years or so, because they will say, oh, we're not happy, but we're going to secede eventually, possibly. My pro I did have, because of the Compromise of 1850, he said that California would actually be admitted to the Union as a free state.
Hear that? Gavin Newsom, we were admitted as a free state. We're supposed to be free here. No kings.
That's
no
right.
Monarchs.
What happened was with that one is we had the Missouri Compromise. It said anything below Missouri is technically going to be a slave state. And California is halfway in between Missouri with that latitude line that they had there. So that was what the big controversy
when
was.
When I was on one of my speaking tours and I went to Missouri for the very first time, the person that picked me up at the airport, I said, I've been thinking about this on my plane ride. Which side was Missouri on during the Civil War? Well, of course, they were neutral, but the person that picked me up said, that's a good question. I should know the answer to that. I don't. Anyway, the church I was speaking at put me up at a bed and breakfast. The bed and breakfast had a theme in every room. The theme for my room was the Civil War. War Room.
Wow.
With the history of Missouri and the Civil War right on the wallpaper.
So you were able to figure it out then?
Boy, was I ever. I had no idea what I was asking for.
Oh, man. Moving on, I have Chester Arthur coming to number 29. He signed the Chinese Exclusion Act, which disallowed any more immigration from China to come over. This was during the time where Chinese immigrants were coming over to help fix the railroad system and thus do some hard labor that some of us Americans didn't want to take up at the time. So there was too many of them coming by. So he said, nope, we're done. We're going to stop all Chinese.
And Chinese immigration should have been welcomed more in those days. They weren't coming in and hacking our computers and stealing our military
secrets. My pro I do have for him is he increased the budget of the U.S. Navy branch dramatically compared to any other president. Thus, we have a lot of great equipment and good facilities that all of our U.S. naval bases have to this day. So a very big shout out to Chester Arthur for that. My next president I have is Jimmy Carter. For me, my con is the handling of the Iran hostage crisis.
That was a nightmare.
He even wrote in his own book that I completely mishandled that whole situation entirely. I mean,
he didn't blame it on Donald Trump?
No, he surprisingly did not. No. But to be fair, Donald Trump, when he wrote that book, it was before Donald Trump was president.
Well, that doesn't mean you can't blame him, Brendan. That's never held anybody else back.
That's true. I do have a pro where he actually kind of helped deregulate a lot of businesses. Specifically, he signed the Airline Deregulation Act, the Motor Carrier Act, the Staggers Rail Act, and the Depository Institutions Deregulation and Monetary Control Act. So I will give him credit for those things. My next person, he goes by two different names, your choice between which one, James Harrison or Benjamin Harrison. My con I have for him is that he approved of the Wounded Knee Massacre, and he gave medals of honors to 20 of the soldiers who were involved in the event, which was a horrific, horrific event. We already talked about how we already mistreated Native Americans in our history and our past. My pro I do have is the Sherman Antitrust Act, which disallowed any monopolies to happen in any business. So he wanted more market competitiveness. And I truly appreciate that. We're all under one big car company and that's it. And they're strictly going to make only electric vehicles at this time. There's plenty of car companies out there who are actually now making just more than that. And they're actually focusing more on motorized vehicles than electric vehicles. So, I mean, I have to say that he did a very good job in keeping that up. Rutherby Hayes is coming in at number 26. My con for him is the Compromise of 1877, which removed federal troops from the South, which allowed white supremacy to spread all over the South, as you saw with the whole whites only bathrooms, whites only water fountains, and they were cleaner and nicer compared to the black ones. I do have a pro though. He did allow civil service reform, and now you just had to be qualified for certain jobs instead of just hiring based on skin color or whether you were a woman. Now you had to be actually qualified to have these certain jobs.
That seems quite contrary to his other policies, doesn't it?
That's true, right? I know, it's kind of weird. Next up, I have Gerald Ford. My con is the Controlled Substance Act, where he was saying that marijuana was just as dangerous as heroin and meth. Studies have shown that marijuana is not as dangerous. There's not as
well. My con is he didn't trip as well as Chevy Chase did when Chevy Chase was doing his Ford imitation.
It's true. You know, Chevy Chase did a pretty decent Ford imitation too, if I say so. I do have a pro for him too as well, which was the Privacy Act of 1974, which protected personal information from being looked at by the federal government.
We sure could use that today.
I know. Yeah, obviously it got revoked and now FBI has all the integrity to look into our phone records everywhere we go. And
for our safety, of course.
I hate the FBI so much. I'm going to get arrested.
I hate the word safety in the hands of the government. That's what I hate.
Next up, I have William Howard Taft. My con for him is that it was the Payne-Aldrich Tariff Act, which made the Philippines very dependent on American goods. And then my pro for him is the dollar diplomacy policies that helped with America's overseas economic status by giving them economic incentives that we would have given to foreign policies over there. I guess a mixed bag on his economic policies that he had. And again, can't stand tariffs. I already discussed that earlier. Now I have a president I think you would have ranked lower possibly. Barack Obama's at number 23 for me.
Yeah, I'd better put him a lot lower.
Yeah, my con for him.
Now, he had the personality too and the charisma, but to me that just made him more dangerous because people followed him.
But if I was basing this on personality, obviously he would be in my top 10, I would say. But I want to focus more on policies when it comes to these presidencies.
Now, I can't think of one policy he did that was really good for our country. What did you come up with?
I gave him the Affordable Care Act, honestly, because I thought...
Oh, I hated that.
You did? Just, yeah.
Oh, that's okay. There were so many people that had good health care, and then it got demolished because of that. They really wanted to give everybody the same lousy health care.
Right, that's what they were trying to do. But what I was thinking of is the fact that there's a lot of people out there in poverty who can't even afford health care. It was helping them somewhat. But again, you're telling me to give a guy some kind of credit for something like...
Well, but you're also going to the American citizens and you're saying you must purchase this product whether you want it or not. And that's a real problem. That's what got challenged legally. And unfortunately, the Supreme Court went with him. Also, there were death panels in there. When Sarah Palin tried to point it out, he called her a liar. He was the one who was lying. There were panels that were in the original bill. And I think that got taken out in time.
Eventually, yeah.
Because they were embarrassed by it. But they were going to sit down with people that were senior citizens and say, you know, you've lived your life and maybe you shouldn't be getting as...
Other thing I was going to say, too, is that Trump used a lot of the basis of the Affordable Care Act into his own health care act at that time, although he was completely criticizing it at the time. Saying
he
Obamacare.
Was ready to get rid of it, but then John McCain sold him down the river. John McCain campaigned and got reelected as senator, promising to end the Affordable Health Care Act, got up there in the Senate floor, put a thumbs down on it.
Exactly.
So I put that one on McCain.
But he offered up another policy, and it was almost similar, I would say,
well,
to the
Trump was a businessman, and he was willing to retweak and compromise if the other side would work with him. That's true.
I'm not saying
I would have particularly liked what he had come up with either.
No, but in order to actually compromise in our federal government these days,
Give Trump points for wanting to find some solutions like that, even if I don't necessarily agree with how they're played
out. Yes, yes. And then obviously my con for him is actually the increase in drone warfare, which allowed bombs to be dropped on many innocent civilians at the time. Our drone warfare situation is getting out of handle. And I know Trump was a big advocate for that, too, at that time.
He also relished executive orders. If Congress wouldn't do things his way, he'd just say, oh, doesn't matter. I have a phone and I have a pen.
I did not care to hear that. Next up, I have Grover Cleveland. My con for him is that he signed the Dawes Act, which sold Native American land and further shrunk the land that was allowed for Indians to even have at that time. But I do have a pro for him is that when Congress was asking Cleveland to approve to take over Cuba and Hawaii, make those official states of the United States, Cleveland publicly said, I am a Constitution man. And if it isn't in the Constitution, I won't do it. And so I was like, okay, he's stuck in his ways.
Good for him.
I'm following him, I guess. So next up, I have George H.W. Bush. Obviously, my con for him has to do with the pardoning of 6 participants in the Iran-Contra affair. I think that whole situation, again, was horrendous. And I don't know why he would do such a thing to those guys. But that's just my opinion on it. It seems like you had something to say super quick.
It would take us off on a tangent. That was not the Reagan administration's best moment.
No.
I did like the Reagan administration, but that was not their best moment.
And Reagan's really high on my list, so I'll get to him
eventually.
He
would be high on mine, too.
My pro for him, for George H.W. Bush, would be the Americans with Disabilities Act of 1990, obviously allowing a lot more help to those Americans who have those disabilities and are in much need of it. So I can't complain about that.
My big thing with him was he campaigned on, read my lips, I will not raise taxes. And then he went back on that.
But if we had to trust politicians on every single one of their words,
but he just made that his mantra. Yeah. He just made it his mantra. Was not a good day for him.
Coming in at number 20, I have James Garfield. My con for him is that he was very public about every meeting he would go to so that he would get media attention. So that's what led him, unfortunately, to be shot and killed. Well, he wasn't killed then and there. He had a doctor who was not very well maintained. He actually didn't wash his hands and he was very unsanitary. And he actually caused an infection to happen to James Garfield, who later died because of that reasoning more than the gunshot, actually. I do have a pro, even though James Garfield was only president for 6 months. He signed the Pendleton Act, which provided federal government jobs based on merit and that government employees selected through competitive exams. So very much so about, again, qualifications. You need to be qualified in order to have this whole thing. Again, Trump's probably a big exclusion from this rule because, again, he was a businessman, but he was a successful businessman, mind you. And we were in an economic turmoil at that time. So I obviously completely understand why Americans were voting for him as president because of how his legacy is. Trump is a big name when it comes to businesses and being elected president. He helped us out of that issue. Of course, now we have Biden and look where our economy is, down the drains and sucking up water now. Yeah. Next up, I have Calvin Coolidge. I'll go with the con first. His con is the Immigration Act of 1924, which heavily restricted immigration from Asia. Once again, not specifically China, but just all of Asia in general. Then I have a pro is the Indian Citizenship Act, which stated that anyone born on U.S. soil was an official American citizen. I actually think that's really nice. And again,
back in those days, he could have gotten a lot of flack for taking that stand.
Absolutely. I'm going to only only have time for one more here. So my next president is John Adams. My con for him is he signed the Alien and Sedition Acts. Those included the Naturalization Act, which made it more difficult to become a citizen of America. Alien Friends Act, which allowed any president to imprison or deport a foreigner that they deemed dangerous. Alien Enemies Act, which gave the president more power to detain foreigners during times of war, and Sedition Act would not allow fake news about the federal government, which impedes on the First Amendment, okay, in my opinion. Let me quickly say his pro super quick, too. His pro was the Convention of 1800, which healed our relationships with France and America at that time, too. So, yeah, we will have to have a part two.
Well, based on who you haven't mentioned yet, it sounds like a lot of our favorites are in common. It sounds like both of us are going to have a lot of the same guys way up in the top.
Exactly, yeah. But in terms of presidents that you did not like, it seems like you kind of are mostly in agreement with me. They're in the lower end so far.
Yeah, we may argue about how low.
Okay, gotcha. We'll talk about it more and analyze it more later if you want to at some point. So yeah, so everyone stay strapped, stay seated. We'll get back to this list in a couple weeks from now for sure.
All right. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the law offices of Matthew Simone.